Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go on this Getaway Friday. Friday, September 18th, 2020. 15 and a half minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WWGH Radio. We've got a whole morning planned for you today into the afternoon at 1 o'clock. Sports Director Emeritus Jeff Ruth will be joining us, I think at 10, maybe a little later, but a lot of stuff in sports to talk about. We've got the Big Ten returning in late October. We have the big game tonight locally between Pleasant and River Valley. And, of course, we have the Browns and the Bengals last night. The Browns, I don't know if it's an upset or not, but the Browns defeated the Bengals 35-30. So how about that? So Jeff Ruth will be along this sometime this morning. Also, the Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road here in Marion, will be having a food bank and clothing giveaway this Saturday, September 19th. At 9 a.m. And the guest all morning sitting in as a special guest co-host is Kaylee Krieger this morning. Kaylee, we made it through hour number one, four to go. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm doing good.
Sitting too far away from the microphone.
I'm
you lean back.
I know. I was getting comfortable.
You were getting comfortable.
Yeah.
Now, now that you've done it for an hour, how do you feel?
I'm not nervous anymore.
You were nervous when you came in.
Absolutely.
And the nerves are gone.
Yeah,
you're having just a good time now.
I'm pretty chill now.
That's good. We're all having a good time. Now, the first hour we did politics. So if anybody has anything more to say about that, feel free to call in. If you didn't get in last hour, 740-383-9944. And remember, again, if the phone lines are ringing busy, just keep on calling in. Or if you have anything else you'd like to talk about, dial the digits, 740-383-9944. Certainly doesn't have to be political. Could be anything. And we will discuss it here on this station. Now, let's see. What else is on the agenda as of late in people's lives besides politics? Well, let's talk a little bit about the pandemic. What's your field of study?
So I'm actually a Homeland Security and Terrorism major. That's what I go to school
Homeland
for.
Security and Terrorism major. Now, what does that entail? You check people's shoes?
No. I don't know. You can do a lot with it. I mean, I could work for the TSA or I could work for, I guess, border security. I mean, I can do those things. That's not really what I want to do with my career, though. That's not really where I want to go with it.
So why are you in college in this field?
So it's not so much, I don't want to do what everybody wants to do with that major, if that makes sense. I don't want to go down the same path as everybody who does go down that major. Typically, it's a male-dominant major. Like, all my classes pretty much are all males. I don't really have females in my classes. But if you look at areas you can go, there are, like, some smaller areas to go down. But, like, not a lot of people look at those areas. So I think that's where I differ from that. Like, I don't want to just be that person who goes in and, like, wants to, like the males in my class. They're like, I want to fight domestic and international terrorism. Like, that's not, I mean, that's cool, great, happy to hear that for them, but that's just not me as an individual. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. That's not my intentions with my degree. I don't know. I'd like to work for the Department of Homeland Security. I'd like to get in there. They have a campaign that works to combat human trafficking. That's where I'd like to take my career. But again, that's something small in the area that is the Department of Homeland Security.
You know, I get the impression lately that a lot of people who are in college are not going to finish college. And that's not a bad... I don't want to say that's me doubting them. I hope they will. But what I've noticed is, like, a lot of people change their major an awful lot. And they're very into what they want to do, and then I really don't know what happens. See, I think what happens a lot of times is a financial decision. is made. They say, well, I can make more doing that than I can doing this. Or maybe it'll take less time to get that degree than this degree. And also, I really don't understand online colleges.
So, I don't know.
Like, if you are in Ohio and you're attending class completely online.
I do that.
Right, but a class, like a college in North Dakota.
Okay, yeah.
What is that? How can you do that?
I don't know. I literally have people in my class right now who are out of state online majors. If you look at my major, though, in online classes, it's specifically people who already have been in the criminal justice field for years now. I mean, there's people who have been in the criminal justice field for 20-plus years in my class right now.
Well, I guess what
just
I'm saying is, your whole college career is based in a college that's in a different state, that you will never attend a day of class.
Yeah.
Ever.
Why is that weird?
Well, I would think because that there might be some things that used to be required in class, like socialization with people, or hearing how some people would deal with other people if it's a field where you're going to deal with other people.
So, yeah, you're not going to have that complete conversation that's back and forth like we're doing right now. But the discussion boards we have, you're required to reply to students, but you're required to just reply to two. I mean, if you read through all the posts, you'll see students going back and forth on their discussion boards, like underneath it. So they'll like put out their opinion basically on whatever the discussion board's regarding. And then someone will reply to it, and that same person will go back and reply to that comment. And then that's kind of how the conversation flows, but it's all via online.
Right, but see, isn't that the problem, though? Because life's not a discussion board.
No, but, I mean, you can't exactly have... I mean, for a lot of people, it's just because they don't have the time to go to seated classes. They don't have the opportunity. Like, they have families, they have lives, they have work.
I guess here's the thing. If you're doing a profession, any profession, where you're going to be helping other people, that you would have your degree and never have had to set foot in that profession at any point. Like, I don't know how a teacher would do that. Because how would you do your student teaching? How would you interact with kids?
Online?
Yeah.
They don't.
Right.
So I email my teacher if I have questions. They have like an open forum post where we can post like questions we have for the week, if we have questions about the reading, blah blah blah. I'm not gonna sit here and say online classes you're not learning. Let's just put it that way. I mean, you're getting your discussion boards done. Online learning is cut down to half of what a regular semester is. So you're breaking down what you usually would have for a 16-week course in class with a professor to now 8-week course online with a professor. And so you're really just getting your work done for the week and then going to the next week. That's really how it is. So I guess I see where your problem would be. But like if you look at a lot of online students, most of them are in their major already. They're experiencing what you're talking about. They're just doing the work.
See, there are people who I know who this is their college. This is the first time they've been. They don't work in this field.
Yeah.
They just want to be in it. And it's all with a school that is not even in the state.
Yeah, see, I think, I don't know, for Tiffin specifically, and that's where I attend, I can see why someone would go, if they needed to go online, if I would understand why they did that if they were a criminal justice major, because we're very well known for that. And so maybe getting a degree in something that's very highly regarded in like the criminal justice field, yeah, I could understand why. If you can't come to Ohio and attend this university that's in Tiffin, and you want to take it online, but financially it costs significantly less to take it online than it does to go to this.
Well, I guess here's what I'm afraid of. What I'm afraid of is when you get the degree, if you get it, and then you go and apply for the job.
Yeah.
Now you are going to have to go to work.
Yeah, so we're required to have an internship. I mean, you're required to make those hours. So eventually you're going to be seated and be able to attend that job before you graduate. I mean, you have to take that before you even graduate. Well, so you're going in your major in some way.
Well, and that's my worry, is that the first time, whether it's through an internship or through whatever, that you go and actually have to sit in there, that might blow it for you, that you don't feel comfortable doing it. It's not what you thought it would be.
Okay, yeah. And so then you go back to school if you want to.
Back to school.
Hey, I'm all about learning. I'm all about knowledge. And so let's say I get out of my major. I'm looking at my master's right after school, not even going into a field. I mean, I'm talking right after I graduate, going and getting my master's as well. Let's say after I do 4 years and I get an undergrad, a bachelor's degree, and a master's degree in Homeland Security, and I get into the field and I end up hating it. Well, most people count that as a loss. Like, oh my God, I just wasted four years of my life over something I don't even enjoy. But wrong, I think you're just looking at it in a wrong perspective. Like, that's 4 years of knowledge of something maybe I wouldn't have known had I not. Right.
But here's what worries me. I think if you're 18 to 22,
yeah,
I can see why people go right to college and then change their major a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're just out of high school. They've never really studied it. I get that. When you're older than that, if you're older than 25 and now you're going back to school and you're still having trouble figuring out what you want to do, that to me is a little more worrisome. Because I wonder, because certainly at that point you've been out in the world.
Yeah.
And certainly at that point you have experienced some kind of working life. And if you're going back to college then and you clearly have no idea what you want to do, mm-hmm. are you doing this for money? Because when I see that major start to flip, I think, was this because this was too hard? Was this because it didn't pay enough? What is going on here? Because you haven't done the job yet. How do you know what the job is?
It's not so much what the job is. Like, if I am going into a major, like, if you look at students in my school who have flip-flopped their major quite a bit, and I know several people who did. My older sister did herself when she was in college. You start taking those, what we call core classes, and then you can pretty much decide right then and there in those core classes if this is something that's ever going to be interesting outside of college. If those classes don't interest you in yourself in itself, you're probably not going to want to do a job in that field either. So that's when the flip happens, when they're like, you know what, this is maybe not all that I wanted it to be, and so I'd rather change it now than to go through the four years of college for that degree, or 2 years, or whatever you're getting your, you know.
Oh, I'm all for that. I'm just saying, if you're of a certain age and in the workforce, we live in an interesting time right now where factory workers cannot hire fast enough. And they're offering bonuses.
Yeah.
And they're trying. And you can make a wage at a factory.
Yeah.
That would be probably far above what you're going to make starting out of college.
Yeah.
In your field. So my guess is that factory work is not what they want to do. And maybe the current job they're doing is not what they want to do for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
So they get into college. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think it becomes a financial thing.
Yeah.
And when it's a financial thing, I'm not sure, because I think you have to have a passion for certain jobs.
Yeah, no, 100% I agree with that. I do think finances is a huge indicator on what someone might go to school for. You're absolutely right. I don't think that's everybody's indicator, but for those who it is, well, I hope it works in their favor.
You hope it turns out okay, but I just don't know if it will.
If it doesn't, it's not my life and not my business. I don't care.
I've seen that so much lately, since people are able to start this online school, which they were not able to do 20 years ago,
yeah.
That it's become an interesting thing. I'm not really sure. It's kind of like, to me, open enrollment has changed how schools are done. Because now you can send your kid anywhere, and it doesn't cost to send them someplace else. All you have to do is say it. Used to cost.
Yeah.
If you wanted to change the school district, you had to pay a fee.
Yeah.
So a lot of parents weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, now they don't have to do that. Now, what that has screwed up, the effect of that is now no schools can pass levies because levies are all based in property tax. Well, if you live in Marion City, but you're sending your kids to River Valley, your levy that you vote on is going to be a Marion City levy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to vote for that because your kids aren't going there.
Yeah.
So now all levies fail, and I believe that's directly related to open enrollment. And I think the direct relation to online schools is going to be you're going to have people who are less trained and less sociable, and also people who are in it for the money. Because it used to be a project if you were going to go back to school after 25 years old. You know, you had to go to class, you had to get books, you had to go back in a classroom where you hadn't been for years. It was a project, and it doesn't have to be that way anymore.
But I think that if you look at, like, if you're looking at someone who's 25 and above now at this point, going back to school, let's say they never did go to school in the first place, they never went to college until then, like, I've noticed they have higher regard for classes than people my age going to school right after high school.
It's costing them money.
What?
I think it's because it's costing them money.
Yeah, I mean, it costs me money just as much as it costs them money.
But I think a lot of people younger than 25 are still living at home, weren't necessarily working a full-time job, haven't had to support themselves. I think the majority of people over 25 have certainly been out on their own, are possibly still working a full-time job, and that's what's led them to it. They don't want to do that for the rest of their life, so they take it more seriously.
Yeah, but I think that you're going to get pros and cons of each group. Like that one, if I'm looking at my online classes right now and the amount of people who are above the age of 25 or in my class is significant. If I read their discussion boards and posts and then look at mine, not that I'm not a good student, that's not the issue here. The issue I'm having is theirs are so above and beyond. I mean, they extra try for a class that I'm like, listen, you're going to get an A as long as you do your work. You know, you don't got to do all of what you're doing right now. My dad likes to say it is because, you know, they're paying for the degree. I pay for my degree.
I agree with that.
I work 5 jobs. I'm grinding. I work 55 hours a week and still attend school full time. I understand that drive. But at the same time, I think that they are applying a lot more. I think they're taking more from it than I am. So I think that's their benefit. Yeah, maybe at the end of the day, they don't have the social skills because they weren't in a seated class and they're not really as prepared as if they were taking a seated course. But if you look at the college students who are taking seated courses, being in seated courses for 2 years, I know what these college students are doing. And you know what they're doing? They're sitting on their phone while class is in session. If the teacher isn't very aggressive about phone use, then the students are either, one, almost falling asleep in class, they're on their phones, they're not paying attention. So even if they were taking seated courses, I'm not sure it would always have the benefit you're talking about. I just don't, I mean, it takes anybody to get up and go to class of the day. Doesn't mean you have to be active in the class.
Well, I'm not saying, I think older people, just in general, the older you get, the more mature you get.
Absolutely. And
so I don't think that's what I'm saying. I think that would be online or in person, you would notice the same thing. What I'm saying is that I think what allowing people to stay home has done has allowed people who would not have gone back to school to go back to school. Now, that's great on its surface.
Yeah.
But the problem becomes what you're getting is people who are going back to school totally driven by financials, not totally driven by I want to do that job, not totally driven by this is a purpose in life and I'm going to have to sacrifice something. I think it's far more driven by the economics.
Absolutely.
And when it's driven by the economics and it's a field where you're supposed to be helping people, the back end of that doesn't look great.
I mean, it isn't. I mean, but you risk that.
You do.
All the time, though. That's like, that's like saying, you know, that it couldn't happen before online. I mean, you still had students doing it for financial benefits of their field. If you look at nursing majors, it's not an easy field to go through. But working in the medical field, I'm going to tell you right now, most of those nurses are doing it for their paycheck and not for the patient.
And you know who they are.
I mean, I work with them.
You watch them take care of those patients, and it's not really all that friendly, helpful.
No, there are people I don't.
And I hope when I go off to the nursing home, I want somebody who didn't go to an online school. I want somebody who was really fervent.
In nursing, you wouldn't even be able to go online.
Well, here's what this is what it reminds me of, and this has nothing to do with college, but what I equate it to. Have you ever heard somebody who's always in financial trouble? They're always in financial trouble, but then in the same breath of their financial trouble, they'll tell you they're doing something fun like going on vacation, and they don't understand why you would look at them strange at that point after you have just went on about how it's the end of your life and your finances are in total shambles, and then all of a sudden, I'm going on vacation? And people don't get why people, well, that's maybe you're not in as bad a shape as you say you are.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely get that. I've definitely seen that with my own eyes, you know?
Do people think that other people are that off the mark that they're not going to notice that?
No, I think we're looking more so we're looking at the people who do this. It's the same as saying, okay, it's the same as, like, I was in high school. At my high school, I went to Pleasant. I'm alumni for Pleasant High School, okay? You had people who wore things and had to have the nice cars, who you knew their family was not financially capable of getting those things for their child. But because of the community that I lived in and the school that I attended, you needed to have that. And so we all knew that they weren't, I don't know, we all said, I don't know how they're able to get these things. Is it for the looks? Are you doing this because you're attending a school where you're maybe not going to be accepted as much because of that? Because in all honesty, that's really how it was. But I don't know how you prioritize one thing over the other. Like, how does one person prioritize having just needed to have the look before, you know, you...
Oh, no, here's what I'm saying. I'm, like, in the situation I gave, I'm fine if you go on vacation because maybe you didn't pay anything for it. Maybe somebody took you. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not judging what you did, but that you're so panicked about your financial situation, it's really not going to give me a lot of empathy towards you that you're still having a pretty good life, that somebody's willing to take you on vacation. I guess here's the problem. I always think, why don't you just turn to these people and say, give me the cash? Because clearly that's what you need. You are in financial trouble.
Yeah, but people don't want to give cash.
Exactly. It's like if somebody would come to me and say, I need to borrow $1,000. Okay, because you might spend $1,000 on a weekend trip easily.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, now I could spend $1,000 taking. Let's say you and I are going to go on a trip.
Okay,
I could spend $1,000 taking us on a trip.
Okay,
paying for the gas, paying for the hotels, paying for the restaurant, paying for the food, paying for all that. Or I could just give you the $1,000. Same amount of money out of my checking account, but completely different situations.
Yeah.
Because I'm enjoying this, you're probably enjoying this, and it's a happy moment. But the problem is, you come back to not having $1,000 in cash and all your financial problems. So why not say, I mean, you're not going to turn around and say, just give me the cash, but that's essentially what's going on, even if somebody else is paying your way.
I don't know, though, because I feel like in my mind, I feel like I can look at this in two ways. In my mind, if I'm like, oh, my God, Scott, I'm, like, financially just...
Missed.
Yes.
In a mess.
And you're like, you know what? You deserve some time off. You know, I'll take you on this vacation. I'll pay for everything. I mean, they're going to think, one, like, this is awesome. Like, I get to relax. Sure. Or two, I'm thinking, all that time I could be working, though, to benefit my financial situation. All that time I'm missing because I'm not, you know, I'm not paying for the trip, and that's great. But all that time that I'm missing being able to get a better job or get another job to make my situation better, I mean, I look at it like that. But again, if someone was like, I'll pay for a trip, do you want to come? I'm not sure I'd say no, even if my financial situation, because I think this is becoming a bigger issue for people my age, is they'd rather experience things than worry about, you know, they're like, oh, well, I have all my life to work. And so.
But I guess I'm talking more about the third party here. Because, okay, let's say it's your parents who you're asking to borrow $1,000 from.
Yeah.
Because you've got to pay your rent. You've got to pay whatever's going on. You've got to eat. And yeah. You know you do not make enough money every month to do that. And you need $1,000 to even this out for 3 months.
Okay.
Okay. So you go to your parents and you say, Mom, Dad, I need $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you come to them the next day and you say, Mom, Dad, I'm going on a trip with Jimmy and we're going here for the weekend. Now, don't you think that third party might say, okay, well, Jimmy's spending the $1,000 to take you on a trip, but you just want me to hand you the cash?
My parents would not let me go.
There you go.
So,
and that's
so
the thing.
I don't know. My parents would have been like, no, absolutely not. You're going to go work and you're going to,
see,
you know,
and
pay
and
me
that's,
back.
And that's the thing. It's not so much, of course, the person's going to choose the trip. Why wouldn't you? It's
free.
Yeah,
but that's if you're telling a third party your business, saying, if you're asking for that for a third party, I think if you have to reach out to someone else, because your finances are that bad for you right now. Like, let's say I am living on my own and I have
right.
to reach out to my parents because I'm just not going to make it this month or the next
right.
couple months. For, I guess, the way I was raised, I would never even think about going on a trip, even if it was offered.
But that does happen.
Yeah.
And I think, but the people who go on the trip can't reconcile why then the person you're asking to borrow money might not give it to you. Because to them, I think they look at it and they go,
I didn't pay for the trip.
I'm getting nothing out of this. And apparently you just see me as a, you know, ATM or something. I don't know. It is different to take somebody on a trip and pay as opposed to, I often wonder about this with like birthday gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will hear people tell you how bad financial, there are a lot of people right now horribly financially off.
Yeah, especially
because of this
pandemic. Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But yet people will show up with a birthday gift and it's not cash. They'll show up with
a gift,
like something the person wanted.
Yeah.
They don't need that right now. They need the cash.
But people never want to give cash. They just don't. I mean, that's not a common thing to just give people cash unless you really don't know what they want.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is that why do people go to certain people for birthday gifts and certain other people for cash? Because you got to go to somebody to ask to borrow the money from if you're not going to make it.
I mean, the only person I would go to is my parents, so I'm not really sure.
But some people don't have that option.
I mean, you're going to go to different people for each of those, because there are people who are not going to give you the cash. You know that they would rather get you a gift or get you something you need. So, like, there are people I could probably go to and be like, listen, I don't have the money for food this month.
And that's, right.
That's
a big thing.
So they're not going to give me the cash. They're just going to go take me to get groceries. So they see where that money's going.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, you're going to have different people for each situation, because maybe they don't trust you with just the cash.
Right. But I can understand, because I've even seen this in family, especially with grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to grandma and you say, Grandma, I need money. And grandma takes big pity on you. And grandma doesn't have a lot of expenses at this point. A lot of grandmas. So say, okay, here's $250. And you're crying, and then you're so elated when you get the money because mm-hmm. all your problems are taken care of.
Yeah.
And grandma gave you the money. And then grandma finds out 2 weeks later, because she's talking to her kids, mom and dad, that you just spent the weekend in Texas.
Yeah.
And grandma's thinking, now, wait a second. I thought you were in horrible financial shape. But you don't go to grandma to go to Texas with. You go to grandma for money. You went to your friends to go to Texas with. And I think that creates hostility.
Yeah. But I think we're talking situational based. But there, you know, it really comes down to the way you were raised. Again, I just... That couldn't be something I did, but also I would invite my grandma on a trip before I invite my friends.
But it's just, it does happen that way.
No, absolutely. But there's nothing that you or I will be able, if you're not in the headspace that is to do that, then I don't think you'll ever understand why someone does that and then wonders what it looks like from other people, or like wonders why people are like, oh my God, I don't want to give
you
cash.
Well, I guess I hate seeing people in financial peril. Yeah. I don't like watching that. And mm-hmm. And you see a lot of it, as we've said now, because of the pandemic, and it's awful to see.
Yeah.
But I also, if you look at those people's lives, all you got to do is look at their choices. It's not just that choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's never just the trip. It's never just the financial problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's every choice in their life. And yeah. they never see that. And you can try to point it out to them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see it.
Yeah.
It's the people you keep in your life. It's the people who are in your circle. It's the things you try to hide. It's the things, and you're constantly, and that's why you're so stressed out all the time, because you're trying to spin all these plates that you don't need to spin. If you would just be honest and say, this is what my life is, you know, but people can't do that. It's very hard for people to come off those patterns.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you weren't raised in that way, then it's not easy to just fix all those years of, you know, growing up to be a different perspective or mindset.
And you can't blame that person.
No. I mean, again, you, like you said, you can try and point it out.
They don't like that.
I mean, either you're going to either be an honest friend or you're going to be a liar. Which one's it going to be at the end of the day? I mean, I'm really honest, so.
You got to risk losing the friendship. And that's what happens sometimes.
But sometimes
it's
you
like an intervention.
Do that. Yeah, but sometimes you do that. They then realize what you were talking about, and then it could potentially get better, and then you become friends again. But you also risk never being friends again. But do you want that person in your circle who is doing these things right now? You know what I'm saying? Do you want someone like that? Because for me, you take things from the people you associate with. And so do I want someone who constantly makes all those decisions that I don't understand to be a part of a big part of my life, where maybe I start taking on the things that they do, and then me also being naive and not seeing it when it starts happening? Do I risk that, or do I just take the loss and count them out as a friend?
I don't know. I earlier on, we had it was a topic, I think one day this week, and it is that people never really get out of their circles. That it's very hard, and people don't see why their circles are bad. Because if somebody's paying attention to you, people love that. People love attention. And even if it's very bad attention.
Yes.
So when you have all these people paying attention to you, and you can't get rid of them because they keep coming back all the time, you end up seeing that as a good thing. You think, oh, that's great. They must think I'm great. When really, the fact that they keep coming back and the fact that they're there is hindering your life constantly.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have someone pointing that out to you, like in mine, I feel like my parents will be the first to point me out if they think that someone is not benefiting my life. They're never going to be like, you shouldn't be their friend, but they might point out like, hey, this is something you might have to kind of watch out for. If you don't have someone in your life, then you're never going to know that you're hindering your life, though. You'll never know it. So I guess, why would you leave something that feels like home for you if you never knew that it was a bad thing?
If you're the smartest person in your group, get a new group. I think that's the truth.
I mean, where's the lie?
Yeah, where's the lie in that? That's all you need to say to somebody. Because what are you learning from that group anymore? Nothing.
Nothing. You're teaching them.
You're teaching them. You need to go someplace else where you can learn something.
I have been, okay, yeah, no, I get it. I get it. But you can only, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And so you can.
Well, that depends. Some horses are thirsty by the time they get to the water.
Okay, but you, okay, have you never heard that saying, though?
That's I have. Oh, I want to touch on this, though, because I saw a post on Facebook yesterday that I found fascinating about selfies.
Okay.
And this person wrote this whole long dissertation, and I'm going to shrink it up here basically to what they said. But it was, they took a picture of themselves not all made up.
Okay.
They took a picture of themselves as they normally look.
Yeah.
And basically the post said, you know, Facebook selfies and pictures are essentially baloney. Posts, it's all fake. It's me trying to convince you that my life is great. It's me trying to convince you that I look a certain way. That when most selfies are taken, you take 10 of them and you pick the best one because that's what you want to show people. And that that's not reality. The things that you don't see are financial problems, are medical issues, are day-to-day sadnesses, are 15-hour days. You don't see that in a picture. You think everything's smiley and great and isn't life perfect, but that's not reality.
That one hurt me a little bit, Scott. I'm not going to lie.
Did it?
Yeah, that one hurt me a little bit.
But is it not true, though? I thought that was a great post yesterday I saw.
Yeah, I can agree with the post in a way. As someone who's, you know, my entire generation's lives have been built around what is social media, I don't think that's necessarily true for all of us anymore. I mean, we have no issue getting on Twitter and being like, I'm depressed. Like, I am sad. I am not a happy camper. I am, my life kind of sucks. We don't have an issue saying that anymore. I do think that there are people who, like, make their life seem better than they are. We have this thing where we say Instagram's the app for, or the social media for people who want to say my life's great. This is all the great things because it's all about what you show. Twitter is where you are truly very upfront that you're not doing well. You're not doing well mentally. You're not doing well.
But tell me this, because I'm really not on Twitter, and I don't even Instagram. Blah, wouldn't even have a clue.
We're not on Facebook like that.
Okay, but here's the thing about Facebook, and I always look at this. Let's say you're in a relationship or a marriage, mm-hmm. and you post how happy you are. Who are you telling this to? I mean, you're putting this out. It always strikes me as odd because you wouldn't walk in a room with somebody and say, look how happy we are. You wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't.
People would just get the impression that you're happy if there's no problem. So I always figure my thought process is that when you see somebody posting about how happy they are, that really divorce proceedings are just about to happen because you're trying to convince somebody that you're happy.
Do you think that's true for everybody, though?
Yeah, because I don't know what the justification is for taking a picture and saying, aren't we happy?
I just don't agree with that statement, though, because if I'm thinking, you know, Scott, I'm going to get married, and I have relatives who live
that's
all
different.
The way across the country to me. If I post on there and they don't ever get to experience us in the full glory of what we are in person, then, yeah, I may post something and be like, you know what, this is my husband and he makes me the happiest person in the world. And that, to me, for some, come across as I'm trying to convince someone I'm happy. But when I post it, I'm not doing it for the entirety of my followers.
But it goes out to them.
Yes, that's okay, though. And they can interpret it how they will. But I'm okay with the idea that people are going to interpret my post in different ways. But the intention of my post may be only for a couple people whom I may text and be like, go look at the post I made about me and blah, 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 about how happy we are. I don't really, but I accept the consequences that I'm okay with people thinking that I'm not actually happy.
Yeah, but explain to me the selfie where you put makeup on and maybe you're going out somewhere that night.
Okay.
That you stop in the middle of going out to take a picture of yourself and put it to where you know everybody's going to see it, but you have no caption at all. Maybe it's just going out tonight. Now, why did we need to know that you're going out tonight? And why did we need to know what you look like at this particular point?
Again, you're going to hurt my feelings on this one, Scott.
Really? What is that?
A lot of selfies, so I don't know.
Right, but what are you looking for? You're looking for the thumbs up. You're looking for that.
I really use Snapchat when I post things. So I guess if I'm going in that terms.
It's like gym shots. I don't need to know what you're doing at the gym. I really don't.
Sometimes, like, a lot of... Okay, so for me personally, there are posts that I make, like, selfies, where I'm, like, looking good. I'm going somewhere special. And especially right now, like, maybe I'm going out to dinner with someone and I haven't seen them for a while because of the pandemic, and I take a snap of how I look and I think I look pretty. I'm going to post it on my social media for people to see, you know, here's where I'm at and... You know, here's how good I look tonight. And sometimes those intentions are for people to tell me I look good.
Right. There you go.
Because I want to hear that I look good.
Because you want to hear you. Because but, there's a self-esteem issue there.
Ouch, again.
Yeah,
that,
no, that's
that would hurt me. I mean, no, you're not wrong. I 100% think there are days where I'm, like, not feeling as good on myself. And if I feel good, I'm going to post a picture because I know at least somebody is going to slide up on it and tell me I look good. But I think there are other days where I feel good without needing people to tell me I look good. And so me posting the picture isn't for anybody else but myself. Like, I've gotten to the point where I post things for myself. Like, I want to have these memories somewhere in case, you know, let's say, you know, my entire camera roll goes bye-bye and I never posted any of those pictures somewhere where I know it's never going to just disappear.
Well, to me, here's what it's like. This is what it used to be before social media. This is what it's like. Let's say you're married and your marriage is horrible,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to get out of it. You've got to get a divorce. It's misery. Well, the first time you see that person, once the divorce is over, with somebody else, you get jealous. Now, what are you jealous of? You no longer wanted to be around them because you don't remember all the bad that it was. What you're jealous of is that they are with somebody else. You, for some reason, the human brain does not allow you to process the fact that the same person who you could not stand being around, they're being that way with that person too. It's not like a whole new person was invented.
In some ways it could be. I don't know if that's particularly true. You may get out of a relationship because of A, B, or C. They may not be treating you the way you think you deserve. They don't meet your standards. They aren't stepping up to the plate. And the minute they leave your relationship, they could be all of those things for the next person. And I think that's where...
Does the person have lower standards, the next person?
No, what I'm saying is there are some men, and there are women, obviously, but I'm talking specifically in my life and in my situations. There are men who don't meet, I guess, my standards I have, and they don't treat me the way I believe I deserve to be treated. And so you try and teach them the way you think you should be treated, and you
but
could...
But do you think they would come back and be great? If you actually
no,
had
no,
to send
I
them away?
No, I think that if I sent them away, they just didn't want to be that person for me. At the end of the day, a person will become the person that the other person wants to be if they want you bad enough. And so for me, if someone can't step up to that plate with me, then they don't want me as badly as I want them. And then I don't want that in my life because I want someone who wants me just as badly as I want them. So they may change, and then that may cause jealousy that why couldn't you be that way when you were with me, though? Like, why couldn't you be all of those things I wanted? Like, why wasn't I good enough?
I don't know if people change all that much.
Okay.
I really don't. I think it's all perspective.
I don't think that's true.
I think there's a lot of perspective in that. And I think that's why... I think that's what we're all about right now. I think we hope people will change. That's why we stick around so long with certain people.
Yeah.
But they never do. And they're not.
They never do for us. That doesn't mean they won't be for someone else. That's what I'm saying, though. They may never change for us, but that does not mean they won't change for someone else. Now, let me tell you, if you had a plain Jane, this is going to sound so bad, but if you had a plain Jane girl and she wanted you to be all these things, but you're like, you're mediocre at best. I'm not changing who I am because honestly, I'm too good for you. That sounds really bad, but like, let's say...
That sounds dysfunctional to begin with.
Listen, let's say that she drops you, okay, and you're like, whatever, I can do better. And here comes a really pretty girl whom you might think's out of your league. And she's like, I want you to treat me A, B, and C. Just as if plain Jane wanted to be treated. You're going to step up to the plate because you're like, that girl's out of my league. And
but
to
not
keep
forever.
Her, but to keep her... No, I don't think that's true.
But not forever. No, because I think all people, no matter what you think in the beginning, the mask falls off. At some point, you find the real person. You find out that everybody's got problems. Everybody's got quirks. You know, on the surface, oh yeah, that might be great. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got quirks. Everybody's got family members that you might not get along with. Everybody's got different habits in the middle of their day. People lose their jobs. People get new jobs. It never stays as perfect as it is in the beginning. That's why they call it the honeymoon.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that's true. But how locked in are you at that point?
Not very.
Oh, you don't think?
No, not very.
You don't think people can have long honeymoon phase?
Oh, I do. I think they can have a long honeymoon phase. But
you don't think they're going to stay once that shield is revealed?
They can stay, but I don't think it's always going to be perfect.
Nothing's ever perfect.
Well, except with me.
Okay.
And here we go. Before we go to break, I do want to let people know that Jeff Ruth, Sports Director Emeritus, will be joining us very soon because there's a lot of sports on the table. We got the Big Pleasant RV game tonight. Going to talk a little bit about that. We've got the Big Ten returning at late October. How about that? We had the Browns and the Bengals last night. Browns defeated the Bengals. How about that? 35-30. So Jeff will be joining us and Kaylee will be with us all morning this morning, right up through 1 o'clock, guest co-host today. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 10 minutes with much more here on WWGH Radio.
Bless. You ever think of an epitaph?
Yeah, I have. A couple of them. One would be, here lies Billy Dunn's Danny. The other one I think might be, is the caller there?